Welcome back to Gemara Tainus. Today, learning Daf Chaf. As always, learning the merit that our hostages should return home now, as soldiers should be safe, Israel should emerge victorious. We're picking up pretty far up on Daf Yutes Amid Beis because it's a story. If you're going to go quick, there's a lot of stories in front of Gadatas today. So let us begin. Once having all the Jews went to Yerushalayim for one of the three festivals, there was not enough water. It was a drought. Halach Nik Dimon Ben Gurion. So Nigdon Ben Gurion, who was some very wealthy Jew, went to a non-Jewish wealthy individual, some sort of procurator of the land, some sort of Roman appointee. Give me 12 wells full of water for all the pilgrims, pilgrims. Going up to Shalim, and I'll pay you back one day. Any of us in life, I don't give you back this 12 water one day. I already know some Lachash Daimaser Kikr has. I'll give you an immense amount of money, 12 talents of silver. Call his money, set a time for it. He goes, okay, in a year from now, let's say. Kimchi's mind below your jumps. What happened? The time arrived and still had not yet rained. The drought persisted. Bashakashal, close to the, this Gentile sends a messenger and says, Shagarli, oh my, Momosh, she usually does. He says, give me water or give me the money you owe me. He goes, look, I still have time. Hello, call Yom Kula Shalihu. The whole world is the whole day is mine. This Ram says it still didn't rain in the afternoon. And this guy sends him a message and says, come on, Ben Gurion. Shagar Li, oh my, oh my, give me the water or the money. Shalach lo, he said, Adain Yeshlom Shalit Biyom. The drought may have been for a year, but still I have time today. Mincha Shalach lo, so late in the afternoon, he says, Shagar Li, my, oh my, Shalit Biyotcha. Shalach lo, Adain Yeshlom Shalit Biyom. We still have day and time. The God loves it, Adon. So at this point, this guy starts to mock Nigdon Ben Gurion. All year it hasn't rained. Now it's going to rain at the end of the day? Of course not. So he went to the bathhouse to be very joyous, knowing full well now he's going to get an immense amount of money. While he was sitting in the bathhouse, you know, thinking about it and rubbing his fingers with greed about all the money he's about to get, Nigdon Nichnas Mikdash. Nikdos enters the temple, very sad. He wraps himself in a talus and he begins to dive in the front of Ribbon. He goes, God, you know I didn't do this for my honor. I didn't do this for my father's house. I did this for your honor. People can come to the base of Mikdash, should have water to come. Immediately the sky became overcast, full of dark cloud, until all the rain fell and filled up all the barrels that Nikdon had borrowed, plus more. At this point, this non-Jewish procurator leaves the bathhouse. Nikdon comes out of the base of Mikdash. They meet each other. He says to him, give me money for the... Now, Nikdon says to this guy who's in Minigo all excited, he goes, actually, you owe me money now because I'm giving you barrels that have more water in them than the barrels I borrowed from you. So first he says, I know the Holy One, God, did not do this except for you. However, nonetheless, I still can say, you owe me money. Why? The day I sat, so you missed a moment. And the rain fell in my possession. And it's past the deadline. And then goes back to the base of Migdash. He wraps himself in a talus and he starts diving. Make it known that your beloved ones in your universe. Beyond the spires of God, immediately the sun, the clouds disperse. The sun shines, showing that it still was day. Or we'll see in a minute that the day was elongated and prolonged on this very day. In that moment, this procurator says to Nikdon, Ilalo Nikrachama, had the sun not come out, I could have said, look, yes, I have the water, but it's too late. And now I can collect my money. Tana, lo nikmon shemo ela buni shemo. Some say his name wasn't Nikmon, rather his name was Bunny. Lama nikra shemo Nikdom, so I call him Nikdom. Shinikar kadra chamba alvara, because the sun pierced the clouds on his behalf. Seemed to say that it broke through. So that's the story. It says the Bryce Thunderbanon, Shlosh Nikdon lam chamba alvaran. There were three people who the sun stayed in the east, as in the sunset was delayed miraculously on their behalf. Moshev Yeshua ben Nikdon ben Gurion, Yishlam ben Nikdon ben Gurion Gemara. So what are these stories? We just mentioned the story of Nikdon. Yeshua ben Namikra, Yidom Hashemesh Veyerach Amad. It said the sun stayed still and the moon stood in its place. So that would that Elamoshe Ben Aaron. How do we know from Moshe? Amar Rabbi Elazar Isa Echel Achel Achel. It's learned from the Lord Achel Achel. Okay, meaning it's both in both by Moshe and maybe she will demonstrate in a minute. It says, "I will begin. I'll begin." It says with Moshe, "I'll begin to put the dread of for you upon the nations." Okay, this is when Moshe is talking to Jewish people. It says by Yeshua, "I'll begin to make you great," just as Yeshua during his campaign, God made the sun stand still in order so he can win, finish the battle. So it's by Moshe. No, I say test, test. It says put. It says I'll put the dread in you. It says there on the day Hashem put the Amorites again there. It's actually you can learn it from the verse itself. Whoever hears of your reputation will tremble and be fearful of you. One will people tremble and be fearful of you. When the sun miraculously stays up, it doesn't go down. People will be fearful of Moshe. Okay. Any city that the rain does not fall, says Yehuda, Amarav, Ushtayan, Lakala. Both of them are for a curse. Meaning if rain falls or rain does not fall, meaning to say that either too much rain or too little rain is a curse. Haisa, Mar now is going to talk about a couple of other points of Rabbi Yehuda. Haisa Yushalayim Nida B'Nayim. So Yushalayim is compared to a woman who's a Nida. Amar Yehuda Amarav, Libracha. This is actually a Bracha. Why? Kenida. Just as a Nida, although it seems like she's separated from her husband, but soon she'll be reunited, so too Yushalayim. It may seem like she's a Nida separated, but will be restored. We also compare Yushalayim to a widow. This is also is a blessing. Means that she's like a widow, but not an actual widow. Like a woman whose husband goes away, but that lasts a lot, but he's going to return. So Yushalayim is never permanently going to be estranged from God. And therefore I too have made you despised and low. Again, this is in Malachi. Says the says Amar Yehuda Lebrachas too is a blessing. The Yehuda is always learning these as a bracha. He says that you'll never be made into custom officials or into police officers, people who two types of people don't like. You know, the tax officials, people don't like them. The police officers, maybe they're talking about the traffic, the parking cop. No one likes that parking cop who gives everyone a ticket. Okay. And Hashem will smite the Jewish people like a reed that sways in water. In Malachim, the wounds inflicted by a friend are trustworthy, while the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You might think if your friend wounds you, that's really bad, and if your enemy kisses you, that's good. It's just the opposite. Tova klala shekila achia hashilani es Yisrael. A curse from Achia Shilani, who's a friend of the Jewish people, Yosef Baruch Shabaruch Bilam LaRasha, is better than a blessing from Bilam. Now, sometimes you think a blessing is good, but it's really it's a hidden curse. Sometimes a curse is a hidden blessing. Achia Shilani kala bikana. Achia Shilani curses the Jewish people and says, you're like a reed. Amim Yisrael, v'hika Hashem Yisrael kashen yonu akana, and Hashem will smite the Jewish people like a reed that sways. Ma akana zeh omim mukamayim. So look, akana is always in the water. The Giza Machlim, and the stalk grows back. Even when it's cut, it grows back. Mishra from Reuben has many roots. Vafilo kol ruchas v'olam osa nishchavas bo. So even when all the winds blow it, it's never ein mezuzah osa mimakla. It's never going to budge. El holoch bo imam. Because it's constantly swaying back and forth, that allows it to withstand extremely heavy winds. Dama haruach. And so when the wind subsides, I'm going to cut him a koma. The reed once again stands up. So to the Jewish people, we may be swayed, may even be cut. We will grow back. We will flourish, and we'll never actually be uprooted. So a reed, in a way, is a good thing. What did Bilam say? He said, you're a cedar. A cedar, it's tall, it's impressive, it's imposing. Like a cedar's, however, Mars, cedars don't stand in water places. If it gets cut down, as we know from the giving tree, it's not going to grow back. It doesn't have a lot of roots. I feel so therefore, if all the ordinary winds in the world blow, it's not going to budge. Why? Because it's very strong. But once you have a very powerful southern wind, it uprooted and overturns, and that's the end of it. So we see that it seemed like you're saying, oh, you're good, but really it was a hidden curse that you're like a cedar that once you get cut down, you're never going to come back. Moreover, reeds have pens made from them. Little by Sefer Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. We use them to write a Sefer Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. What does that mean? Tanu Rabbanan. Lo mi adam let rachkan. A person should always be soft like a reed, meaning you should be flexible. Vilya kashuk aris, not like hard like a cedar. Maisa. So it's a very strange story, which you know we can elaborate on more some other time. We're going to go through the story now. Either way, Maisa. Rabbi Elazar Shvin Shem Magdil Gadar. Rabbi Elazar Shvin was coming from Migdal Gadar. He based Rabbo from his teacher's house. By Rochav Achamar, he's riding on a donkey. Umatal Asivis Nair, he's traveling along the riverbank. Samach Simcha Gadol, he's extremely happy. Why? Because died to Geiselov. He's feeling very proud. If Nei Shalom to Tar Harvey, he had just learned so much Torah and he felt so proud of himself. But here's the strange part. Nizdam in Lo'ad Mechach Mukhor Beoser. There was a person who comes and meets him who's exceedingly ugly. He didn't look good. Amar Lo, Shamalech Rebbe. The person says, you know, peace be you, Rebbe. Lo Hichser Lo, he ignores him. Amar Lo, Reka. Empty one. He said that instead. He says, saying, "You know, Alechem Shalom." He says, "How ugly is that person?" Maybe you're from a place where everyone is just as ugly as you. Amar lo, ain yoda elalech v'amar leuman shasidi kama mocher kli zeshasisi. So he says to he responds. The guy responds. His very response. He goes, "I don't know, but I'll tell you what. If you don't like what I look, go complain to the person who made me. Basically, meaning go complain to God." Immediately, Rabbi realized he sinned. He gets up on his donkey, even he bows down in front of the guy. I've spoken out of turn to you. Mochli, please forgive me. I'm not going to forgive you. Until you go to God, go to the craftsman who made me, and tell him how ugly this vessel you made me. So he travels behind him, please beseeching him, please forgive me. What happens? So everyone comes out to meet Rabbi Elazar. But Amar Lo, saying to him, Shalom Alecha, Rebbe, Mori, peace be on you, Rebbe, our master. Amar Lehem, so the ugly guy says, Rebbe, who are you calling this guy, teacher? Amar Lo, Lezeh Shemat Alecha, the guy behind you. Amar Lehem, Imzeh Rebbe, Al Yarbu, Kamos Yisrael. He goes, if this person's a teacher, I hope there are no one else like him in Israel. Amar Lo, Mifnei Ma, why would he say such a thing? Amar Lehem, Kach Asili, listen what he called me. Forgive him because he's a man of great Torah. He goes, look, okay, forgive him for you. Vachli ye rug losses gain, provided he never does this again. Immediately, Rabbi Shimon gets up and he says, the person should be soft like a reed and not hard like a cedar. And that's why we write a Torah with a reed. Now, there's a lot here. It's very possible what he's saying. This is just a very brief, undeveloped thought that we're saying is, you know, when someone's very inflexible, they're not able to ask for forgiveness, but also they see the world the way they want to see it. But if you're flexible, so then you can recognize, okay, a person might look one way, but there's much more depth to it. And we're saying a Torah has to be written. It can't be just, you know, sometimes when things are just written from a text, it doesn't apply. It's hard to apply it to real life. You need to have a certain flexibility, and this is where the Masorah comes in. This is where Torah Shabbat Peh comes in order to apply it to real life, or this is what we call Ratzon HaTorah in the words of Ruchan and Wasserman. Fine. So then the Gemara Mishnah says any city that has pestilence, a plague, or buildings collapsed on our bottom Mepolis Shamru bars lower ruas. We're talking about a sturdy building and not a dilapidated. Any ruas lipol lower lipol, not one that's prone to collapse or. Not those that are prone to collapse. Meaning, if it's prone to collapse, that's not considered a tragedy. That's just normal happenings. Sturdy buildings are the same as buildings not prone to collapse. And dilapidated buildings are the same as buildings that are prone to collapse. Why do we say it's two? Because no, the second category is necessary to exclude buildings that collapse due to their excessive height. Meaning it can be very sturdy, but they're very tall. Inami, the kaima gudinar. If you build it on a riverbank, it can be a very sturdy building, but since it's on a foundation that's undermined by the water that's eroding it, so then it's prone to collapse. Okay. Yeah. There was a case of a building that was in Narada. It was a dilapidated building. And Rav and Shmuel would never go beneath it because they didn't want to collapse. Even though it stood there for 13 years, seemingly it's going to stand at the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but still they wouldn't go under it because it's prone to collapse. One day Rav Ad Bar Hava was walking with them. So Shmuel says to Rav, let's go and take the detour and go the quicker way, even though Sorry, let's go around. Let's take our detour and not pass under the wall. So Amar lo, Rav says back to Shmuel, L'tricha Adna. Today, one day we can actually go under the wall. The Ikar Rav Adar Rahava, so we're going with Rav Adar Rahava, the Nafshi Zulchusa, who's a very great person, lo Mistafina. So we don't have to be concerned the wall's going to fall. Meaning to say, we can rely on the fact that he's such a great person, the wall's not going to fall. Rav Huna Havile, Chamra Bahu, Esa Ru'ua. Rav Huna had wine in a certain dilapidated house. By Rav Huna, he wanted to remove it, but he's afraid it would collapse. Other Rav Adar Rahava lost. So what he did is he brought Rav Adar Rahava there. Maskus tried to add it, and he started talking and learning until he. So while he's talking and learning, they walk at the house and they get the wine and walk out. Again, he's not concerned it's going to fall. Boss says, Nafik, Nafal base. So the second they walked out, the house collapsed. Iglish by Adrahavas. Adrahavas realized what happened. Iglish, he got really upset. He said, He said to him, Savalai, Kai, Dumber of Yanai. He said, I hold the Grab Yanai. Lola, Yamad, Adam, Makam, Skun of Yamar, Asli Nais. A person should never stand in dangerous place and say, look, a miracle will be performed for me. Shemi ain't no snake, because maybe a miracle will not be performed for me. We don't rely on miracles. Vim says, Lomar, Asli Nais, even if a miracle is performed, Minikin lo, Mizuhu Yosef, it's going to deduct it from my merits. So we see from here, he was very upset. Don't rely on the fact that I'm a great person to perform a miracle. Amar Chanan, Makra. As it says, I have been diminished all the kindness you have given me. Yaakov says regarding Esav that I may be diminished because of all the goodness you've given me, all the miracles performed for me, and therefore I'm losing merits, and I don't want that to happen. Okay, so that's the story. Now let's talk a little bit about Adar Bar-Hava, why he was merited to live a life where he had so many zechuyos. What gave him all his merits? My Havi Udu the Rav Adar Bar-Hava, Ki Havi the Itmar, Sha'alu Taminos Rebis, Zeros. So either they asked of Zerov, Amar Le Rav Bar-Hava, they asked of Rav Bar-Hava himself, the matter of the Yamas. This is a camp of Megillah as well. Why do you merit to live such a long life? Amar Lehem, Yamas Loik Badi Pesach Basi, because I never got angry in my house. I have a great drush on this. Let's see, Yisman Pay Misha Golemeno. I never walk in front of someone greater than me. Radti even Mabwis of Nupas. I never didn't walk in the alleyway, the filthy alleyway, sticking the Torah. I never walked from without studying Torah or wearing tefillin. I didn't sleep in the base medrash. Lotion is kevel, lotion is sarai, not a regular sleep, not a nap. Lotion but calls chaver, right? Rejoice when my friend fell. Lekarasi chaver bechachniso. I didn't call my friend a nickname. Amri le bechanicho. And nor did I call my fellow by his last name. It seemed like I called him only by the first name. Okay. Rava la Raf Mar Papa. So Rava says to Raf Mar Papa, Lemel La Mar, Ani Mili Ma Ayusad Avid Rav Huna. Will you tell me why what tell me great things about Rav Huna? So Amar Leh, he said to him, Bianakusa lo Digari. He goes, I don't remember anything Rav Huna from his youth, Basivuse di Chiruna. But I can tell you I remember things he did in his old age that were wonderful. Every cloudy day they would carry him out in a golden chair, seemingly because he couldn't walk himself. Beside the Kulmas, he traveled the entire city. And any wall he found that was falling apart, he would demolish it so that any storm wouldn't approach it. So any approaching storm wouldn't destroy it. And if the owner can pay for it, the owner would pay for it. He'd pay for it himself. So he'd make sure the city was safe. He'd send a messenger out to the marketplace. Any vegetable that was still in the hands of the growers in the farmer's market, he'd buy it and he'd throw it into the river. Why would he do this? Because this would protect the growers against loss, meaning to say he'd want these owners to bring a lot, an abundance of supply every Friday, but they realize that extra, they start bringing less. In order to prevent this, he'd buy all the excess and throw it in the river. Why the river? So seemingly, it would float downstream and people somewhere else would be able to benefit from it. So why do such a funny thing? Just give it to the poor around there. Because his concern was if he gave it to the poor, they'd begin to rely on him for these gifts, and they wouldn't buy it for themselves in Shabbos, and it'd end up in the same situation. People wouldn't buy it from local vendors. Give it to animals. So he believed food that was for human consumption should not be fed to animals. Well, it was cloud. So why did he buy it all together? Because again, he wanted to ensure that they always brought an abundance of fruit other times. Next. When he had medicine that was not available to the public, what would he do? Having miliguza de maya, he'd bring a jug full of water. He'd fill a water jug with it. Medicine that only he had. Basically, hang it up from his house. Amalei called by Lishekel. Anyone who needs it, come and take it. Some say milsa de shivsa hava gamri. And some say he knew the ways of shifta, some demon. He placed a jug of water and suspend it. And we're called Tarach Lisev Lil Sakin. Anyone needs this water, come wash your hands, and won't be in danger of this demon. When he would eat bread, How possible? Basically, he'd open his house. Remember, call man to tzarech, lest he lichah. Anyone come and eat with me. Amarava, kulei mitzim kaimen. All these things I can do as well. I can learn from him. Except for the last one, the law mitzim l'mavid. I can't just open my house up for the poor. Because there are so many poor people in Mechuzah, they would eat everything I have. We'll stop over here. I wish you all a wonderful day.